I wonder if I was to ask you, have you ever made any stupid decisions? I know, rightly, if I ask some people in a half jokingly manner, they would say, aye, I got married. But that's not what I mean. You're probably thinking right now you've made more decisions than you'd want to remember or you could even count. Well, just to make you feel better, in 1955, there was a man called Sam Phillips in Memphis in Tennessee. He had the exclusive rights on contract for a relatively unknown singer. And he wasn't quite sure just how he was going to fare out because he's a wee bit rebellious of a singer. He sold the rights of that to RCA Records for a very minimal amount of money. The singer's name was Elvis Presley. Well, we've all been there, maybe not to the same extent as that, but some bad decisions can be recovered without an awful lot of difficulty or embarrassment. Others carry great cost. But there's one area that we can't afford to make a bad decision on, and that's what God wants us to do. And through our, what God, we want God to do, what God wants us to do in our lives, and what we can do, how He can work in our lives. If we miss that one, we miss it all. We miss it all. Have you ever needed or wanted to escape? I wonder. Have you ever wanted to run away from different things? To be honest with you, at times in my life, there have been times when I wanted to run away from a problem or maybe a situation or maybe even a person. I know that each one of us here have wanted to escape at least once in our lives to get away from something or someone. Some of the greatest people in the Bible have run away and were on the run. Adam and Eve were on the run from God after disobeying. They were on the run from His presence. They were hiding. Moses was on the run from Pharaoh after he killed an Egyptian soldier. David was on the run from King Saul. Jonah was on the run from the call of God. And Jonah here is an illustration of an attempt to get away, to run away from the call of God. This morning, I'd like to speak briefly on the topic of Jonah and you on the run. If you have your Bible open there, just bear with me in Jonah chapter 1 there. As we look at the prophet who was on the run and the storm that was brought into his life, just to give you a little background about this story, the first chapter speaks of Jonah's disobedience to his divine call, to his calling of God, from God. We do know that Jonah was no novice. And 2 Kings 14 tells us that Jonah was a prophet and servant of the Lord, for he predicted what he predicted had come to pass. It had actually happened. He lived in Israel. In fact, his very name, Jonah, means dove. A dove signifies a messenger. And we're also told that he's a son of Amahai, which stands for son of truth. He was a messenger of truth, God's truth. It was his job to listen and then communicate, to tell the people. That was his job as a prophet of God. It's no surprise then when we read in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It was his job to answer the call. But instead of obeying and instead of doing what God had called him to do, instead of letting God work in him and through him, Jonah said, that's enough. I've had enough. I'm running. I'm going on the run. So to be on the run from God is to disobey God. Isn't that right? And the Bible plainly says that disobeying God is sin. Maybe you're tempted. I know a lot of people are tempted to pass over this story of Jonah and the huge fish. You don't really believe in such stories as Jonah. It's all a wee bit too far-fetched for you. Well, whether you believe it or not is up to you. It makes no difference. The truth still remains, even if no one believes it. And yet, deep down in your heart, you know that these things are true. But you're trying to make yourself believe that they're not. Jesus has said, the fool in his heart has said there's no God. Tell me, are you numbered among the fools in that? I hope not. I believe the story of Jonah because it's in the Bible, and the Bible is God's word, and that's enough for me. I might have told a story here before about the wee girl was in our class and they had to learn the Lord's my shepherd all through, and these other children were all through the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not, went down through the whole thing, great, came to this wee girl and she got up and she couldn't remember the words, so she just said, the Lord is my shepherd and that's enough for me. Well, It's enough for me to know that this story of Jonah is in the Bible, and I believe it. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 12:14, where he said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so the story is either true or Jesus, Jesus was a liar." So yes, the story is definitely true. The story of Jonah has a message for the saved and the unsaved alike. Remember, Jonah was a professed follower of Jesus, or follower of God. He is a prophet chosen by God and was given a commission by God to go to Nineveh and call upon the people of that great city to repent. You would have thought that Jonah would have jumped at such a call and a chance to fulfill that commission and would have been honoured at being commissioned by God. But then Jonah was not the first, or indeed he'll not be the last, to disobey God and do his own thing. Many of us are just as guilty as Jonah was, and it would be a good practice if we, you and I, would examine our own hearts in these matters instead of quite often pointing the finger at those around us. When reading the first chapter of Jonah, you see how Jonah acted when God made his will known to him. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went right in the opposite direction to a place called Joppa and got onto a ship which was going to Tarshish. He turned his back on God. Maybe Jonah thought that if he went and preached against the Ninevites, he would probably be made fun of and maybe even chased out of the town. Maybe be physically beaten or punished and maybe even executed. After all, this was a very dangerous and wicked area, very dangerous and wicked people. It'd maybe be a suicide mission. So he went on the run. The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own ways. How many times have we turned our backs on God and went our own way? Quite often our way has led us into unnecessary trouble. God has created man in his own image. From the dust of the ground he breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and said it is good, but man needed a companion. So the Bible says that God put Adam into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh, then took the rib and made woman and brought her to Adam. Now God not only gave them one simple rule: don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will surely die. Well, we all know the rest of the story, don't we? The serpent, the devil, deceives Eve into eating the fruit, and she assures Adam that it'll be all right for him to eat it too, which went directly against what God had told him to do. When we disobey God, what's it called? It's called sin. The sad part is that there is Jonah there. There's a Jonah lurking in the hearts of each and every one of us here this morning. I'd like to point out 4 things from this story of Jonah. The first thing I want us all to see that we should be a follower, not a runner. Verse 1 says that Jonah, the man of God, hears the word of God and disobeys it. Verse 2, God said, go. Verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He ran away from God. He went and got on a ship for Tarshish to escape the presence of the Lord. Now God speaks to us in many different ways and different forms. He speaks through the preaching of the word. He speaks to us through prayer, through the reading of the word, through all people, maybe even through dreams and through different circumstances. And yes, mostly it's very difficult for us to understand what God is saying to us and what he's calling us to do. That's where trust and obedience come in. As we can see here, that wasn't the problem with Jonah. Jonah did trust God and mostly was obedient to him. Jonah knows what God wants. He understands what God called him to do, and he understands his instructions. However, we're not told how they came to Jonah. But it's very clear that God said, go to Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah disobeys. He went on the run. So why was Jonah on the run? Maybe Jonah thought it was a lost cause, and he thought the message was too severe. On top of all that, Jonah says, why does God have to send me to Nineveh? There are plenty of problems right here in Israel. Israel was in trouble, both morally, spiritually, and socially. Sounds a wee bit like the Church of Jesus Christ today. Maybe he felt that Israel needed to clean up their own act first. Maybe he was scared. He was afeared, fearful for his own life. Nineveh was a violent and brutal place at this time. It was referred to as that city of blood in the book of Nahum. Nineveh obviously was a bad place, nasty and cruel, the devil's den. It was a policy, in most cases, never to keep their prisoners alive. People were tortured. They would impale them stakes and they would skin them alive in some cases. They would hold their victims down, reach into their mouth and pull out their tongues. They would build pyramids of human skulls outside a city that they would conquer. Their cruelty was known throughout the world. They used very cruel methods of torture and could always get information from any prisoners they would take. One of the procedures was to take a man out into the desert and bury him up to his neck. Then they'd pull out his tongue and put a spike down through the tongue as the hot sun and the desert heat would beam down on his head. It's said that a man would go crazy, absolutely crazy, before he would die. And that was just one of the pleasantries of the Ninevites had conjured up. But the real reason that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was because he hated the Ninevites. They could be condemned as far as he was concerned. So when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the message of judgment, Jonah must have said, "Forget it. I hate those people. Even if they listen and repent of their sins, they don't deserve the opportunity to repent. And if they repent their sins, knowing you, God, you'll be nice to them and forgive them. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm not going. You can't make me." Jonah's reaction was described this way. Calling Jonah to go to the Ninevites was like asking a Jew in 1942 to go from Poland to meet Hitler and tell him that God loved him and that everything he did would be forgiven if he had just repent. So the Jew would just get on a train and went as far as he could and then got on a ship to Antarctica because he wanted to get as far away from it and have absolutely nothing to do with him. Jonah was willing to do God's work as long as it suited his own purposes. But giving Nineveh an opportunity to be let off the hook was certainly not something that Jonah was willing to do. You know, you can run from God and not even move. You can run and not even change your job, not even change your situation, change your church either. If God is calling you to do something and you sit here Sunday after Sunday, then you're running. If you feel God calling you to help out at the youth club or the BB or GB and you don't, then you are running. If you feel God calling you to serve in the Sunday school and you stayed glued to your seat, then you're running. What is God calling you to do and why aren't you doing it? We need more leaders and more helpers in most of the youth organisations. It doesn't need to be someone up front. They maybe don't even have to talk when they're helping. Just simply being there is helping. Can you stop running that normal course and help out? The second thing is we need to recognise God in the storm. Notice that God didn't stop Jonah from going to Tarshish. He didn't stop me from doing some very silly and stupid things in my life. And he won't stop you. He let Jonah get as far as Joppa. I wonder how far he will let you get before he stops you. When you willfully obey God, when you choose to live life your own way, you choose to do what you want to do, God won't stop you, at least not at the beginning. Don't get me wrong, not every storm that comes our way is sent by God. Sometimes the troubles that come our way are just life. Other times they are the result of persecution for doing the right thing. But there are times when trouble comes from not following the voice of God in our lives. There are times when we are going through troubles and we want to blame it on the enemy. But it might not be the enemy that's causing it. Verse 4 says clearly that God sent a violent storm on Jonah. Disobedience disturbed many things. That was all part of the plan of God to get Jonah corrected. When we, you and I, continue to live in disobedience, God will discipline us. If you're being disobedient in your Christian walk, Do not for one moment think I can get away with it. And when the storm comes to you, you have brought it on yourself and the ones around you. As I say this to you, I also say it more to myself. The book of Hebrews warns us to take God's discipline in this life seriously. And in Corinthians, you'll read that some believers were struck down and killed for making light of the Lord's Supper. I am quite sure there are some here this morning, or listening to the CD or even on the internet, who are going through a storm at this very moment. Maybe it's a storm in your family. Maybe a storm at work or a financial storm. Maybe a storm in your health, or it could even be a storm that God is calling you to do something within the church. And maybe, just maybe, God is rattling your cage, telling you to stop running and follow me. Thirdly, the third point is disobedience will also affect those around us. Jonah wasn't the only one caught up in the storm. Verse 5 says, all the sailors were afraid and cried out to each other. Your running affects those closest to you. Jonah may think that his argument with God was between him and God, but he pulled the sailors into it as soon as he put his foot onto that ship. You may think that your running is your own business, but when you run from God and the call that he has placed on you, it affects everyone in the boat. All that's with you, your family, your friends, your co-workers, and yes, even your church family. If God has called or is calling you into ministry within this church, and let me just say that we all have spiritual gifts and a ministry that you can bring to this church. When you seek to fulfill that calling, God is ready there to help you. If God is calling you to teach Sunday school, then seek to get into Sunday school. If God is calling you to help in the worship, then get involved in the praise or the worship group or the choir. This morning, I was very nearly going to speak on a very unpopular subject, although maybe this is unpopular for some. But I was very nearly going to speak on tithing. And yes, the Bible clearly says that we should tithe at least 10% of what God has given us back, or given us, we should give that back to God's work. But God has also given us 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, or maybe to be easier on ourselves, if we say God has given us a 40 week hour to work, and if we were to tithe 10% of our working week, that's only 4 hours. 4 hours a week. Are you stealing from God by maybe only giving 1 hour on a Sunday by going to church, when there are so many other ways in which you could give the 3 hours in service to God through the church? The trouble is, when you and I step up to the mark, or don't step up to the mark, all people have to step up to it and do it for us. People who maybe aren't called in these areas, people who aren't equipped, and they become like the sailors in verse 13 who did their best to row the boat back to land, but simply couldn't. The whole church will go through the storm because you're not consistent enough, committed enough, or faithful enough, or even bold enough to fulfill the calling that God has called you to. The fourth and final point I'd like to make is, the God we serve is a God of grace. Just look at how Jonah rebelled in verse 12. He tells the sailors to throw him overboard, despite the trouble he's caused. Despite the disobedience to God's calling, he would rather die than to do God's will. So what do the sailors do? They throw him overboard. Verse 15. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Jonah, the man of God, is as good as dead. But the God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, saves him. And looking at verse 16, he saves the sailors as well. Verse 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. In this raging storm, there seems to be nothing but the anger and wrath of God for Jonah and the sailors. There seems to be next to no hope, very little hope. But while God holds the storm and his wrath in one hand, he holds deliverance and salvation in the other. Right here in the middle of the storm, God's judgment and his salvation meet. His wrath and his grace are very evident here. Jesus hung down on that cruel cross. On the face of it, there seemed very little hope there. He was nailed and helpless as he hung there, bearing the storm of the wrath and judgment. But beneath the surface, God was preparing a deliverance, a rescue, our salvation, a resurrection on the grave. But when the cross, God's judgment and his salvation meet, his wrath and his grace opens up, it unfolds. It opens up for each and every one of us. Billy Graham once said, "The blood of Jesus Christ not only redeems us, it justifies us. Being justified means more than being forgiven. I can say, I forgive you, but I can't justify you. But God not only forgives the past, he clothes you in righteousness as though you had never committed a sin. Yet it cost the blood of his Son on the cross." You see, the Lord who can calm the troubled waters of your life is the same God who can stir them up into a great storm or a great frenzy. So when we continue in our disobedience, he gets rougher. He begins gently, but in the end, he sends the storm. If you are on the run, don't believe God for one moment is going to ignore it. It's going to work to wake you up, for you to see the consequences of your actions. But there's a blessing in this. It's great to know that God doesn't give up on any of us, even though we're stubborn and rebellious. And that's the men I'm talking about as well as the women. But God gives us a second chance. Max Lucado, we all know of Max Lucado, who's written many books. I like the way he puts it here. He says that if there are 1,000 steps between you and God, God will take 999 of them and leave the last one for you. Tell me, have you taken that last step yet? If not, are you ready to take that step? And if not, why not? You can only be on the run so long. It's time for you to get to your Nineveh. Are you on the run? Is God asking you to do something that you're fighting? Take time today and turn around. Can I ask you all, where or what is your Nineveh? It's time for you to be on the run to Jesus. Why are you running from something that you know God wants you to do? Maybe you're afraid there won't be enough money in it, or that you lose some friends. Maybe you're worried that God might make you go someplace or to a church where you don't want to go. Maybe you're thinking, "Lord, you can send me anywhere, but don't send me to such and such a place or with such and such a people." Maybe God is calling you to ministrate within this church, but you're content to let others do it who are maybe not called or to fill the position for you. We all have our Nineveh that scare us half to death at times. But my prayer is that we become more like the Isaiah's rather than Jonah's, that we may say boldly, "Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me." The next time you think that God can't use you, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that Abraham was too old. He was 100 and he thought God couldn't use him. Gideon was afraid and thought God couldn't use him. Rahab was a prostitute and thought God couldn't use her. David had an affair and was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt and lost everything. Peter denied Jesus. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. And Lazarus was dead. God used even a dead man. What do you have that's worse than any of those? No more excuses for any of us. God can and will use us, but you need to be obedient and be a follower, not a runner. Remember, you aren't the message, you're the messenger. Tell me, how do you occupy your time? Probably with the material things of life. Too much time taken up with the things of this world to bother about the things of God. Are you more concerned about your business, your finances, your hobbies, than the welfare of your soul? Who or what is your company? What company do you keep? Who are your friends? Who holds the influence in your life? Do you belong to God? Are you saved? Even though you've never thought about eternity, Jonah finally made the right choices. Even though it meant him being thrown overboard, if you take your stand, people you regard as your friends might throw you over. But God will take you up and be your best friend that you ever had. Where are you bound for, tell me? The judgment is coming. How will you face the judgment? How will you face the judge? What are you relying on? Are you obeying God? Friends, please make him your choice and live for him every day, whatever the cost. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed a merciful God, that you are a God of love. And Lord, you will let us run so far and so long until you start drawing in the reins. Lord, some here at this present moment may be going through the storms of life. But Lord, we pray that you will put in their path something that will calm those storms. That you, Lord, will make them aware of the need of you for everything in their lives. That you can comfort them. That you can, only you can give them that real inner peace. Lord, help us all to realise that we may all be on the run from something that you are calling us to do. Help us, Lord, to face up to that challenge, to face up to that call, and follow you in whatever way you want to take us. Amen.